Today's podcast is sponsored by Ordinary Vegan CBD Oil from Hemp. As we age, our endocannabinoid system needs enhancing, and CBD oil can enhance and influence the receptors that causes us pain, inflammation, anxiety, and depression. And the best part is, it's all natural, made from plants. You can find all Ordinary Vegan's organically grown, GMO-free, vegan CBD products at ordinaryvegan.net/shop.
You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions@ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan podcast number 67, Time Restricted Eating. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I am the founder of the Ordinary Vegan website, podcast, CBD from Hemp line of products, and an incredible health and wellness community on Facebook, over 310,000 strong. Just go to facebook.com/ordinaryvegan to join us, or join our private group, facebook.com/group/ordinaryvegan. And please follow me on Instagram @ordinaryvegan and hashtag me if you make any of my recipes, because I love photos. Hope everyone in the U.S. had a nice Thanksgiving. It's really hard to believe we're only a couple of weeks away from Christmas. This year has sped by, and I am already working on my goals for 2020. One goal I did accomplish in 2019 is I wrote my first book, which will be released in February, called The 5-Ingredient Plant-Based Cookbook. I have a wonderful publisher who plans to get it in lots of different kinds of stores, so be on the lookout. My second book won't be far behind the first one, which will be more of a self-help book. It's about what shapes us, what shapes our eating patterns, what shapes our emotional issues, and I believe understanding is the first step to conquering anything that is holding us back. So please look forward to that. What I discovered in 2019 is that I love writing, so I plan to devote much more time to it. And I also love podcasting, and thank you all so much for being here, for your reviews, for your kind words. You have made 2019 a very special year for me, and nothing exists without all of you. Today, I thought I would devote this podcast to time-restricted eating because there has been so much about this subject in the news lately, and there are new studies that have been released since my podcast on intermittent fasting. And as we learned in podcast number 63, Dr. Greger just released a book that provides a lot of great information about fasting. So I thought the timing would be really good. So let's get started. The first thing I wanted to address is what makes a study on anything legitimate? I mean, how do you know it's true? In September 2019, a study was released and it made headline news in the New York Times, the Washington Post, the LA Times, and even in many nonprofit groups. And it was titled, Unprocessed Red Meat and Processed Meat Consumption: Dietary Guideline and Recommendations. And it recommended that adults continue to eat unprocessed meat and processed meat. The paper was authored by 19 scientists representing a new nutritional recommendation group who claimed to be producing rigorous evidence-based nutritional recommendations. And they want us to eat more meat. Well, guess what? Not only did the report display a severe lack of understanding about the concept of nutrition, it was headed by someone who is involved with the meat industry. So there you go. This is a perfect example of medical studies tainted by the funder's influence. Always follow the money behind a study. And the reason all the big news organizations jump all over studies like this, because it's clickbait. They put that story in your feed, you click on it because you are curious. You're like, what? I should eat more red meat? You click on the story and the news organizations make money. Media outlets love clickbait. It's as simple as that. There are a lot of good things about the internet and social media, but the downside are stories like this. And many people are like, yeah, I should eat red meat. I knew it. And they want to believe it's true. And they see that it's scientific evidence. And why wouldn't they believe it? Also, they are wishful thinkers. They don't want to believe the food they are consuming may be hurting their health. What I have learned over the years of researching studies for this podcast is that I have to be a detective and make sure the researchers are legitimate. Here is what I have learned about scientific studies. First, science tries to weed out bad research through peer review. They will review other scientific studies, try to replicate it, and see if they can come out with the same results. Also, reading and critique by peers can validate the study's findings, point out errors on bias, and determine whether a study should be rejected. The very first tip-off to bad science is the article headline. Bad science headlines usually involve some use of over-the-top exaggerations like, eat more red meat and you will live longer. Most reputable studies will back up their claims by linking to other studies that reinforce their claims. If the study doesn't source any of their claims or use money from a certain financial conflict or not disclose who is funding the study, there's a chance the findings are biased and possibly completely illegitimate. Another example of a completely fabricated study was the 1998 Lancet study by Andrew Wakefield, showing a link between vaccinations and autism. Shortly after this study was released, several other studies were published that actually refuted the findings of the Lancet study, including a retraction of the study from 10 of the 12 authors of that very study. Eventually, the journal Lancet and Andrew Wakefield would also come to admit that the study was funded by lawyers acting for parents who were involved in lawsuits against vaccine manufacturers. But the damage was done. Vaccinations cause autism was a major headline, and the report led to a significant drop in vaccinations in the UK and United States. And maybe there have been other studies that have connected these two since then. I personally don't know. But the Lancet study was one of the first studies published about the connection between vaccinations and autism and made headlines, and it was completely 100% total fabrication. Hope that helps you understand a little bit about scientific studies. Now, let's talk about the pros and cons of the newest eating trend, time-restricted eating. Time-restricted eating is becoming an increasingly popular way to lose weight and feel energetic. And among the numerous intermittent fasting techniques is showing a lot of promise. Time-restricted eating limits a person to consuming all of his or her daily calories in a narrow window, say from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Practice daily. Time-restricted eating puts the body's major organs into a state of rest and recovery. Time-restricted eating is defined as fasting for people of for at least 12 hours per day. So you try to confine your calorie intake to a set window of time, typically 10 to 12 hours a day. In the past, many of the studies on time-restricted eating have been small, or have involved animals rather than people. For example, one study in 2014 found that mice that only ate food between an 8 and 9 hour period each day lost weight and had improved metabolic fitness. In 2015, another highly touted study in PLOS One, which is a peer-reviewed science publication, published a peer-reviewed study that showed there may be interplay between the frequency of eating and metabolic health, like low-grade inflammation. What they found is longer fasting periods and less eating in the evening may lower inflammation. Low-grade inflammation is an underlying contributor to numerous cancers like breast cancer and an underlying contributor to insulin resistance. In May 2019, a study called Late Lifetime Restricted Feeding was done by the Glenn Foundation for Medical Research with no conflict of interest declared. This study was inspired by the number of overweight and obese folks age 65 or older, because aging and obesity dramatically increase the risk for an array of chronic conditions. What this study discovered was that time-restrictive eating benefited metabolism, increased activity of daily living, and, once again, this study was done on mice. But human beings are not mice, and there haven't been enough long-term studies about weight loss and time-restricted eating until now. Finally, in November 2019, a new comprehensive study was published in Cell Metabolism, which offered some evidence that time-restrictive eating can be beneficial for humans. Researchers tracked a group of overweight people who ate only between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., which left a 14-hour window of no food, and a lot of that time is spent sleeping. Each day, they logged the timing of their meals and sleep in an app. They were also asked to stay very hydrated with lots of water. Also, the researchers didn't ask them to change what they ate. After 3 months, they saw a 3% reduction in their weight, a 4% reduction in abdominal visceral fat. And although participants weren't asked to change what they ate, they ended up consuming about 8% fewer calories as a result of the limited eating window. But not only did the participants experience weight loss, they also saw cholesterol levels and blood pressure improve, and many reported improvement in sleep quality, and they had so much energy. So what we have discovered recently is, in addition to helping you maintain a healthy weight, time-restrictive eating might also help you have less inflammation and lower your risk of diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses. Time-restrictive eating is also an attractive approach due to its modifiable nature. You can choose the hours and you can choose how many, easier implementation, and potential circadian benefits. If you remember from one of my previous podcasts, circadian rhythms are very individual. You tend to feel energized and drowsy around the same times every day. That is your circadian rhythm. They respond primarily to light and darkness in your environment. They are our 24-hour biological cycle. In November 2019, according to Sachidananda Panda, who is a biologist at the Salk Institute, he said that by establishing a consistent daily cycle of feeding and fasting, one might realign the ebb and flow of fuel intake with the body's natural circadian rhythms. He says that every cell and organ has a clock, and every organ and cell needs downtime to repair and regain its rhythm. His study involved people who had a condition known as metabolic syndrome, sometimes called prediabetes. 3 in 10 Americans have metabolic syndrome. In this pilot study, the participants limited their eating day to fewer than 11 hours for 12 weeks. At the end of the study, they lost an average of 3% of their body weight, which aided in disrupting their patient's progression from metabolic syndrome to diabetes. The group also reduced their belly fat by 3%. Belly fat can be an indicator of heart disease in the future. The group's blood pressure also fell. In some cases, participants were able to discontinue or take smaller doses of statins or hypertension drugs. This was a small study, but pretty remarkable. A larger follow-up study is already in the works, underwritten by the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases. That study will also explore the benefits of daily fasting in people with metabolic syndrome. I will let you know when they have their results. In July 2019, the Obesity Society published a report that they discovered that meal timing strategies, such as time-restricted eating, appears to help people lose weight by lowering appetite rather than burning more calories. The study is the first to show how meal timing affects 24-hour energy metabolism. For the study, researchers enrolled 11 adult men and women who all had excess weight. All adults in general good health, aged 20 to 45 years old, with a body index between 25 and 35, which is considered overweight to obese. People tried two different meal timing strategies in random order. Participants ate three meals during a 12-hour period, with breakfast at 8 a.m. and dinner finished by 8 p.m. Another group of participants ate three meals over a 6-hour period, with breakfast at 8 a.m. and dinner at 2 p.m. The same amounts and types of foods were consumed. Then, the researchers measured their metabolism by placing them in a respiratory chamber where they measured how many calories, carbohydrates, fat, and protein were burned. Researchers also measured the appetite levels of participants every 3 hours while they were awake, as well as hunger hormones in the morning and evening. What they found out is that time-restricted eating lowered levels of the hunger hormone ghrelin and increased fat burning. Ghrelin is a hormone that is produced and released mainly by the stomach. It is termed the hunger hormone because it stimulates appetite and increases food intake and promotes fat storage. So bottom line, their study said meal timing strategies appear to help people lose weight by lowering their appetite. So, who could benefit from time-restricted eating? It could be especially good for people who do a lot of snacking at night. Please do not attempt time-restricted fasting if you're pregnant, breastfeeding, being treated with medications without asking your doctor, as well as anyone with a compromised immune system and people who are suffering from diseases like cancer. That is it. That is everything I have on time-restricted eating today. What I think we should all take away from this information is that the timing of meals can be important in our metabolic health, our weight, and influence our energy level. I highly recommend speaking with your doctor if you're on medications before starting time-restrictive eating. But aside from that, there is really no downside to trying it. Also, time-restrictive eating eliminates eating at night, which has long been associated with weight gain. People often eat at night, not from hunger, but to cope with stress or boredom or just to satisfy cravings. And usually, those cravings are high-calorie foods like chips. Besides extra calories, eating too close to bedtime can cause indigestion and sleeping problems. Hope today's podcast benefits your health and wellness. Last but not least, Ordinary Vegan provides all-natural vegan, organically grown, non-GMO, gluten-free, and tested to ensure the best quality CBD oil available. I am proud to say Ordinary Vegan CBD was featured in the most recent retirement magazine with Olivia Newton-John on the cover, who is also taking CBD. Getting older is a fact of life, but aches, pains, and anxiety don't have to be. CBD would be a great Christmas present for your mom or dad. Just go to ordinaryvegan.net to learn more. Hope CBD oil from hemp can help you. Thanks for being here, everyone. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.